All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Can you see it? Did you know
this? Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Bester. In with a shot, he scores!
Moments notice, Adams leaves the
puck. To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence, take you to listen.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public
display.
Is
they slay the dragon?
Yes, don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, on all platforms. Go check them out. They've got a lot of good stuff, and man, are we ever excited for those Upper Deck Series 1 cards.
Super stoked on that, but I don't think what I've heard, my sources are telling me that Vasily Podkolzin rookie card not coming in that one.
Series 2, right?
Series 2 will be the Podkolzin one.
So you'll get the Caulfield. The Caulfield will be the short printed.
Don't get me wrong, Series 1's going to be fine, but man, that Podkolzin rookie card in Series 2. Yeah. If you're only going to buy one box, save your promo code for that one.
If you're only buying one, but you should be buying more than one.
Sure.
Absolutely. Use our promo code. $5 off your order. Free shipping anywhere in Canada from Tofino to Thunder Bay. I want the alliteration.
Isn't that the exact same one we did last week?
Is that what you said?
Yeah, but in the other order.
Vancouver to Vaughn. That's a way better
that was,
one.
That was also used last week.
Was it?
By Harm.
Oh, man. All right. Well, those are the only ones that came to my mind. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That promo code will get you 25% off
your
first order, and free delivery does not get much better than that,
folks. And you know what you can use that for on DoorDash?
Food.
Food, sure, but the other day I'm driving around, I'm listening to radio or something, or an ad comes on somewhere. You can get PetSmart to deliver through DoorDash now. You buy toys for your dog, treats for your cat, maybe some of those bags of temptations for cats. They love those things. Wow. They go nuts for them.
Yeah, the commercials say so.
Well, I used to have my old cat Squirt, the most legendary cat ever. He was about 40 pounds, soaking wet. He was, and every time I came home, he was fighting another cat. One time I saw him get hit by a car and he just walked away from the hit. I'm not even joking. Got hit by a car and he just bounced off, man. Came inside. You could shake temptations. He could be one city over and he would come running. He loved those things so much.
Wow.
He's a big fan of that. That and tuna. He would go nuts for tuna too. I fed him a lot of tuna when I just had Squirt, when I moved into my own house for the first time.
Yeah.
Fed him a lot of tuna. He loved it. He got pretty fat off the tuna, though.
I've seen pictures of Squirt. He was a fat cat.
He was massive. He was great. He could have been in a zoo. He was that big. He was an awesome cat, though.
Absolutely. My name is David Quadrelli. I'm sure you already knew that by now, but I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place. Talking about his cat today, Chris Faber.
I wonder if people know, there's got to be at least one or two people that have never listened to the show
absolutely.
Before.
Well, not to brag, this is a humble brag, but our numbers keep going up, so there are definitely new listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, they must know who we are at this point. I'm assuming a lot of the new listeners are, Canucks Army readers, or they've just kind of seen our work around. Maybe they saw the Sportsnet 650 announcement and were like, these guys have a podcast, I should go check it out. Which is a great decision, by the way. If you're here for the first time, congratulations. Your life's about to change.
Yeah, if you this is the first time and you're on Twitter, reply to this tweet when we tweet out the episode. Let us know. Hey, it's the first time listening. We'd love to interact with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in a weird mood today a little bit because the season starts tomorrow. I'm pretty excited. Last night, I cleaned my room from top to bottom, which is I'm a messy person. Okay. I'm a messy person, but I'm one of those messy people where it's I know where everything is. So I like having my stuff in a little bit of a mess just because I know this area is for this, this area is for that, that type of thing. So now I've got this super clean room, and I worked out yesterday for the first time in a long time, did a big old arm workout. I'm a little sore today, even holding up the mic a little bit because you don't know this because you work out every 45 minutes. But when you work out the first time in a long time, even just a little workout, man, my arms are sore. I put in the work yesterday.
Yep.
Good thing was, though, I'm still lifting the same amount that I was when I was working out. The muscles didn't disappear, so that was good. I was putting in the curls yesterday with the 30s, just throwing them around. It was nice.
Hell yeah. What kind of curls do you do?
Well, I did some hammers.
Nice.
I did,
hammers are staple.
Hammers were good. Just some straight up ones. And then the leaned over on on the flat bench where you just go straight, ones.
That's good.
I was pulling those up. It was good. And I did a little tricep. Man, the arms are feeling good today. It felt nice to work out. And then on top of that, that's one thing. I didn't work out. I never cleaned my room. Did both those things yesterday. But today, and you might recognize this, I never drink red Gatorade.
I didn't even notice
ever
that.
Drink red Gatorade. You know, I drink the grape Gatorade or blue. Blue's what I normally drink. I drink a lot of the blue Gatorade, but today, I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm mixing it up, drinking the red Gatorade. And it's mixing it up. Sometimes you have your favorite flavor or something and you love it. You have it all the time, whether it's food or drink, but then you mix it up and you're like, oh, it's still red's good. I crap on red quite a bit. I think it's the worst Gatorade flavor.
But it's still solid.
But it's still a very solid drink. So I'm enjoying the little mix up today and just excited because the season is literally within 28 hours from us recording this right now. We're going to have regular season hockey to talk about.
Absolutely. And I'm very excited for that. I did want to jump in with something about working out though, because what you're feeling on your arms, every time I do legs, that's how I feel the next day. Because I do it so rarely.
I mixed in, I was doing a few squats yesterday, just kind of in between. I don't know, I had a lot of energy yesterday. I don't know what it was. It should be the opposite, because I had a turkey yesterday. And I had a good old plate of food. When I'm cooking, I made the mashed potatoes for the family, because my mashed potatoes absolutely slap. I made the potatoes. Normally when I'm cooking, I'm not super hungry after that. Like if I do a lot of the cooking, I'm just not quite as hungry at the end. But yesterday I put in work, man. I put in work and I had some great sandwiches later in the day. Some like, what do they call it? Artesian bread. Yeah. Is that what it's called? Fancy bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some of that with like, it was like garlic and herb bread. Toasted it up a little bit. The garlic popped. It was two hella sandwiches last night at like 1 a.m.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've had a good 24 hours. Didn't do a lot of work yesterday. So I'm feeling good here for the podcast. I'm ready to dive in because this is the last podcast now before the regular season.
Absolutely.
But you also had a little bit of a ghetto turkey dinner last night yourself, didn't you? Even turkey, technically.
No, it was roasted chicken that I had, and I made turkey stuffing. But, you know, I went to my mom's house, and we did have a proper Thanksgiving lunch, which was great. It was just we had to do lunch because people's schedules kind of got in the way a little bit. So I went there after practice yesterday. And yeah, it was great. Got to spend some time with the family. Happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners out there. It was a good time. But we do have some practices to break down.
Well, what's your take on, turkey leftovers here, are you all sandwiches or is there something else you do? Because I know
soup.
That's what I was about to say. I knew you were going to say
it. I know you hate soup. It's the stupidest thing ever. I don't know why you don't like soup. Like, I do know why. I just think it's a completely invalid reason. Like,
there's no substance to soup.
Yes, there is. If you make a good soup, that is a good meal for yourself.
The only good soup might be chili. And I don't even know if that counts as a soup.
It's not. It's soup. No, chili's not soup.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. All the other soups, then, if chili doesn't count as a soup, there's no substance behind any soup. The only time you can have soup that you should have soup is when you're sick and you can have chicken noodle soup.
Okay.
The little Lipton or Campbell's, whatever you got.
This I have
the
heard simple stuff. That the Tim Hortons soup, the one you can buy in the store, like the canned one.
Ooh, I don't know.
I heard it's pretty solid from a very verifiable source last night.
I've had the Tim Hortons chili out of a can you can buy in the grocery store.
Yeah, and how was
solid.
That?
Solid. It is solid. I like Tim Hortons chili. It's nothing special, but it's like it's a quality low quality chili.
Okay. Interesting.
It's fine. And out of the can, it's fine.
Like you don't cook it?
No, you cook it.
Oh, obviously. Okay. You said out of the can.
You got to take it out of the damn can.
Yeah. But I thought, you know, when you said that, I thought you were just
okay. Fair enough.
Out of the can.
But you get a little roll when you get it at Tim Hortons. Good stuff, man. Tim Hortons does right. There's nothing, you know, nothing at Tim Hortons really pops anymore.
They got too much going on. Like they don't have an identity. That's what the problem with Tim Hortons.
When I was in high school, man, stoner bagels were the thing.
Bagels?
Stoner bagels from Tim Hortons. So you got a 4-cheese bagel with herb and garlic cream cheese.
I hate the way you say bagel.
Stop. Okay, just let me.
Sorry, continue.
Herb and garlic cream cheese and bacon on a 4-cheese bagel.
Interesting.
It's called and you could like the Tim Hortons that we went to that was near like our school. You could say stoner bagel and they knew what you wanted. They
really?
Make it for you. Yeah.
Wow.
Never heard of this?
No, never.
You never really hung around the stoners in high school, did you?
No, not really.
I don't think you did at all.
What gave it away?
Yeah.
All right. Man, let's get into some Canucks talk. We do have a couple practices to break down. Monday, the Vancouver Canucks practiced. Tuesday, they practiced a little bit earlier. I had to get out of bed to go. It was a good practice. Like, the intensity level was high. Alex Chiasson has not left power play one. He has not left Elias Pettersson's wing. He is the placeholder for Brock Besser. Travis Green, the head coach of the Canucks, was asked about it today. Also, I don't know why I say that. I'm used to like writing it out because you have to write head coach Travis Green, but I'm pretty sure everybody listening to this knows who Travis Green is.
Well, maybe another first-time listener.
Yeah, maybe first-time listener who's like also never watched the Canucks.
Well, they hear the hype about the Canucks. Yeah, they want to get into it.
Fair enough.
Are the new listeners.
All right, so I'm going to stick with that. So, yes, Travis Green was we were talking to him today, and he was basically asked if Chiasson is like a placeholder for Besser, and he kind of laughed and he's like, I don't really know if you can call it that. And basically he said, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's pretty safe to bet that Brock Besser's going to play near the top of the lineup when he's healthy. And it's not going to be the lotto line is reformed with Chiasson instead of Besser. Oof. So that's what it's going to look like. Like on opening night, it looks like it's going to be Chiasson, Pettersson, and Miller. And Miller, that's kind of the big story. It's our poll question, our Fuel the Fan poll question. We'll get to it later. JT Miller's at the wing, and he didn't play there for all of the preseason, all of training camp. Has not had a game at the wing position, but has practiced there the past 2 days on Elias Pettersson's wing. they talked about it and how he's moving to the wing and that sort of thing. So, you know, the reality is he can play center if he needs to. He is still learning the position, according to Travis, and he's going to be on the wing to start on opening night.
It's another example of versatility in the Canucks top nine. Something that has not been there over the past. Another piece that can be versatile, moved around the top nine unit, which is great. We think that, you know, we'll get into, I think we'll save most of this chatter for the second half when we get into the poll question, but let's start with Chiasson instead of Miller here.
Sure.
So Chiasson has not technically signed the contract yet today. They have agreed to terms.
Yes.
They have to wait for Zach MacEwen to clear waivers or be picked up by another team.
Yeah, and they've like tweeted, they like used the verbiage, we've signed Chiasson, but they haven't signed him yet.
No, they have agreed to terms. They will sign him on Wednesday at 11, technically, but yeah. He's going to sign signs of the league minimum at $750,000. Honestly, he came in and he won a job on an NHL roster through what he did in training camp and preseason.
Yeah, and he's talked a lot about how he bets on himself and it's worked for him in the past and is another year where it worked for him.
Yeah, and he's getting the opportunity, obviously. Look who he's playing with.
Yep.
You know, two of the top scorers over the past few years here with the Vancouver Canucks and JT Miller and Elias Pettersson. Obviously, I think that's going to change when Brock Besser gets back in the lineup, and he's on the road trip. We'll get to Besser in a few minutes here, but let's stick on Chiasson because we had a good discussion, I think, with Harm on the weekend show there, just chatting about how Chiasson is definitely going to bring something to the power play unit. He's going to be able to be that net front presence that the power play unit has really not had over the past little bit, though they've been effective. I mean, that 2019-2020 team was a really good power play. Last year obviously fell off quite a bit, but Chiasson at 5-on-5 playing with Pettersson and Miller, even if he's playing with Horvat or anywhere in the top nine, I like Chiasson at 5-on-5 is the problem, I think, to me. And it's not like he's a really bad NHLer. Like, he's going to be able to be fine playing in a bottom six role, I think, but I just don't know if this is the ideal situation, and I don't think it is, because Besser, I think, is going to be back. If not for the whole or the season opener, he'll be back down the road. It's just Chiasson, I think, can fit in every once in a while. In the same way that I think Luke Shen can fit into your defense every few games, I kind of look at it in Chiasson with the same way into the top nine. Like, he shouldn't be an everyday top nine player, but the circumstances around their top nine unit right now with guys like with Brock Besser potentially out of the lineup, with the moving around of Jason Dickinson due to Brandon Sutter, just other situations in the top nine, I'm fine with Chiasson being there, you know, when he has to. He's the guy that's going to end up moving up in the lineup to play in a top nine when there is injuries, and currently there is technically to Brock Besser until we know more about Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Brock Besser is going to be traveling with the team to start the road trip. That's what Travis Green confirmed to us. He did skate on Monday and Tuesday, not with the full group, but he did skate and was out on the ice, which indicates that he's close. My bet, if I'm a betting man, which I'm not that much anymore, after some big losses. Yeah, we'll get to that after points bet. We're very excited about that, actually. But if I'm a betting man, which I guess I am now, Brock Besser is going to play on this road trip. Now, the other name is Tyler Motte. And, you know, obviously Besser, rightfully so, is the guy we talk about more. But Tyler Motte means a lot to this lineup, right? Like, Travis today basically, or no, he flat out said, Sutter and Motte are their two best penalty killers. And they're without both of those guys, right? Like,
yeah. You
know, and look, I know I'm not here advocating they shouldn't have got rid of Beagle and Louie, but I'm just saying those are two guys who do kill penalties, and the Canucks don't have them to start the year. And when they did that, they were expecting to have Sutter and Motte. Now they don't have both. Like, that's a tough position for this club to be in. It's a real curveball that they've been thrown.
Well, we talked about JT Miller a little bit off the top, but man, that's a lot more added pressure for him.
The guy
is going to be killing penalties, playing on the first power play unit, and likely getting the most ice time on a 5-on-5 line as well.
Yes.
We've seen in the past JT Miller play games where he's 24, 25 minutes a night, and it's good to have him doing that. I mean, he's one of your best players. You want to have him on the ice quite a bit, but that's going to wear a guy down, man. You don't want to wear a guy down, especially this early into the season. There's not really another center aside from Jason Dickinson right now that's going to be killing a lot of penalties.
Lamico is the guy that's going to kill a lot.
So he's going to be out there killing penalties.
He's actually, honestly, might actually bump Miller off.
You've seen him for a practice now. What'd you think? I mean, you can't really tell a ton from
Hard
practice.
Hard to tell, but loves to block shots, has like no front teeth on the top. And, you know, seems like a nice enough guy. Like, I think he's going to be fine. Again, like, not that niceness dictates how a player is going to perform, but, you know, he does kill penalties. He's very defensively minded. Again, this is a guy that they've now watched a lot of video on. Travis talked about how their scouts were looking at them or at him and were very impressed. And again, like, the fact you got this guy for Olli Juolevi, that's a great trade in my opinion.
Well, yeah, let's touch on it there. We haven't talked about it because the trade happened after we recorded. Olli Juolevi traded to the Florida Panthers, Noah Juulsen. And is it Juho Lamiko?
Yeah, Lamiko, I'm going
Lamiko?
With. I don't know. We'll hear how Shorty says it tomorrow.
I was going to say, let's watch Donnie and Dolly and see how Dollywall says it. That's how you can really tell. Or that's how you can tell not how to say it.
Oh, man. No, so, it is Juho. Juho is his first name because Otter always corrects it to U-Haul.
Freaking Otter, man. What was that? The one time you had it where it was like all wrestler themed
at
one time.
It was like John Cena and Hulk. Yeah, like it was a batch question. And it was like, Travis, obviously you get John Cena and Hulk Hogan back in the lineup tonight. And Travis is like, yeah, two big parts of our team.
Otter is, what is it, transcribing app, I guess?
Oh, yeah, I guess we should explain it. Yeah, it is. It is an app.
A lot of people use it
record,
now.
All of the reporters use it. You basically can record audio, and it transcribes the audio live so that you can see it written out, and it's a great platform. No free ads, though.
Does a decent job.
Does a decent job.
Pretty good job. So you start throwing European names in there, though? Oh, man, that's going in.
And the funniest part is at training camp, because, you know, we haven't heard from much anymore, but when Podkolzin was speaking to media, and he would answer in Russian into the mic, Otter would try to translate what he was saying to English, and those were some interesting transcripts.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I don't even think I used Otter for the Podkolzin and stuff. All right, so Lamiko. Lamiko?
Yes, Lamiko. He is a center, and he can play any wing position as well. That's what we were told today. And again, Travis pointed out that he can kill penalties. That's what they brought him here to do. He is going to kill penalties. He was out on the ice with the penalty-killing units today. He is going to kill penalties right from the get-go for this team. Again, I only watched him in one practice. It's hard for me to say how effective he's going to be, but it will be a good indication of kind of what the Canucks have in this player, watching him perform against the top power play in the league tomorrow night.
So with him in the lineup, that kind of means that maybe I was wrong. Maybe JT Miller's not killing penalties then, right? Like,
well, he might. Dickinson. You're not necessarily wrong, but he might kill penalties.
Sure, but he shouldn't
really
be one of the top two guys killing penalties if you have Dickinson.
He will not be a top two guy.
So he could be, you know, he could be a replacement level if Dickinson or Lamiko.
Yeah.
Lamiko. I'm going to go with that. Lamiko.
Sure.
Lamiko. If he ends up taking a penalty or Dickinson takes one, then I guess you got Miller
exactly.
There. But, you know, also Highmore looks like he's going to be in the opening night lineup, so he'll kill penalties. And Dowling, is Justin Dowling going to kill penalties? He did in the preseason.
Yeah, he did. He was on the penalty killing units today.
So he could be an option. So you have four penalty killers there. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Vasily Podkolzin down the road, if that's a spot where they can find for him to get some extra minutes. I mean, he's killed penalties at a very high level in the KHL. That was the one spot where he's consistently trusted to actually get minutes in the KHL. So I wouldn't, you know, I'm kind of surprised we didn't see much of that in preseason at all.
Here's Travis's philosophy that he kind of shared with us when we were talking to him during the preseason training camp was, you know, a lot of guys come up and they're skilled guys when they're drafted that high. Like, nobody is drafting a player super high because they can kill penalties really well. Like, that just isn't happening in the draft. That's not how you draft. So he said, like, a lot of these guys come up and they have the offensive side of the game down pat. But it takes some time to learn how to kill penalties at the NHL level. Like today, Travis was talking about stick positioning and not biting on fakeouts and stuff by power play personnel. And, you know, the only way to really know why guys are faking and why they're doing what they're doing is by having that experience and playing in the NHL for a while. So, you know, that's kind of the philosophy of why it's usually more veteran players that you see on NHL penalty kills. But that being said, like you said, Podkolzin, if there's any young guy that can do it, it's him. And, you know, we saw it at times in the preseason. Again, with the acquisition of Lamiko and kind of the personnel that the Canucks now have, again, Tyler Mott eventually going to be coming back. I don't see a path for Podkolzin to be killing penalties, at least until like after the halfway point of the season, or if there's an injury, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I see it as well, kind of because they are that veteran players. I mean, if Lamico can do it consistently, then that's another good addition to the team. I'm really interested to see how he fits into a lineup. And looks like he might be playing even on a line with Vasily Podkolzin, because it looks like Podkolzin is going to be starting the season on the fourth line, which, you know, gives him an opportunity to work up from there. It doesn't put a lot of pressure on him at all. But I think that that's a spot where, you know, maybe you can get a little bit of a shine out of him on the fourth line, right? Like, you want, you know, that he's going to be skilled. You know, he's going to give his line mates the best opportunity to score goals. Just nothing really, like, man, I don't know. Podkolzin, there's something about him where it's just like he sets up a lot of really good plays, and he did this in the KHL. He did this in the World Juniors. And it's just like the puck just doesn't go in for the kid. Like, he's got real bad luck when it comes to that. I think he made good plays, and I'm excited to see him. Sorry, I got some in my throat. I got to clear this out here. But Vasily Podkolzin, like, he's going to set up a lot of plays, and I think having him on the fourth line really just takes, like, all the pressure off of him. So it's a fine spot for him to be in there. Like, obviously, we'd like to see him playing with some better scorers. Like, you know, having Highmore up with Dickinson and Höglander, I mean, that's a spot where Podkolzin could swap with Highmore, I think, pretty quickly. If he starts to play well and Highmore doesn't really fit that role, which I don't think he does, I do wonder how much that changes when we do get Brock Besser back in the lineup, you know, if Chason's maybe playing with Höglander and Dickinson on that third line. So we'll see what happens for sure. I think that the other thing, though, is like there's options. When something's not working in your top nine, Podkolzin has to be the guy that comes off the fourth line to get more minutes, play with better players, have that opportunity. So at least that opportunity is going to present itself for Podkolzin, but he just simply didn't produce enough in the preseason for him to kind of earn a top nine spot, honestly. Like, he didn't do well offensively, or for the results wise anyways, in preseason to kind of earn that spot, I think, even though a lot of us wanted to see it and we saw a lot of flashes of Vasily Podkolzin that were, you know, making a lot of the fan base excited, they just weren't results, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we cut to break, let's break down this Yolevi trade in full, because we've talked a lot about Juho Lamico, but we did not talk about the right-handed defenseman the Canucks got back in Noah Juulsen. Again, Abbotsford native. I know some people are, I don't know if some people are still high on Yolevi, because
Surrey, he's a Surrey boy.
Abbotsford, born in Surrey, but
there you go, born
grew up in Surrey. In Abbotsford. Anyway, I checked this because it was in an article that I edited. Anyway,
good Surrey kid.
Good Surrey kid. Noah Juulsen, again, nice pickup for the Canucks with Juho Lamico, of course. And the thing with Yolevi is, you know, I think people, again, if you're a first time listener, I wasn't Yolevi's biggest fan, and I think I made that pretty clear over the last couple months. And with this player that they're getting in Juulsen, I look at it more of like, he's right-handed, which the Canucks actually need. They don't really need any left-handed defensemen. Like, there was no path for Yolevi to get to the NHL here. It just wasn't going to happen. So hopefully it happens in...
Well,
no, it wasn't going to happen. Hopefully it happens in Florida for him. He's not bumping Rathbone. He's not bumping Hughes. And he's not bumping OEL.
I'm not saying
OEL.
He was going to, but like,
really well.
I was in this when I just, you know, before he really fell apart at training camp there on the opening day, there was a path for him to get to the NHL.
Yeah, by hopping
by
over
playing
Rathbone.
Well, and he didn't do that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. Anyway. Regardless, Noah Juulsen, right-handed defenseman, Canucks need that more, and he's already cleared waivers, so he's just going to be in Abbotsford, which is good news for the Canucks. Again, this is
another player for Abbotsford, man.
Another player
and
for
now
Abbotsford.
Now you got McEwen heading down there.
And this affects Jet Wu as well. Like, that right side is pretty stacked in Abbotsford.
Yeah, it's really stacked.
Yeah, so, you know, you're competing for minutes if you're Jet Wu there.
Well, I think so. I mean, like, you want Jet Wu to get top 4 minutes, but skill-wise, right now, the guy that gives you the better chance to win, I don't think Jet Wu's a top four guy if that's how it's looking at. So it's going to be interesting to see how Trent Cole plays this. And they're going to get going on Saturday night. They head down. They fly out on Thursday to Bakersfield. They got their first game against the Condors.
The Condors.
Good name.
Great name. That is a great name.
Yeah.
Where is Bakersfield?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll cut to break.
Iowa.
Is it?
I don't know.
Did you just throw that out there?
Just throwing a state out there, okay. Yeah.
We're going to cut to break. On the other side, we will get to our Fuel the Fan poll question and a whole bunch more. Keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation.
Winter is quickly approaching, but wait. That means your favorite seasonal brew is back to cheer you up. The Tukes of Hazard is now available across British Columbia and Alberta in their government and private liquor stores. This extra strong brew has a whopping 9.2% alcohol, big hop punch, even bigger body and aroma, and just a touch of white haze. The Parallel 49 fan favorite is smoother than a freshly cleaned ice rink.
Muddlers. Muddlers Pink Lemonade. We are so excited to tell you guys about Muddlers Pink Lemonade, my drink of choice. You guys have all seen it by now. Faber and I went out drinking. That was my drink of choice first night.
I think that the catchphrase for this ad has to be, it's the only alcohol that Quads likes.
Absolutely. It's so good. It's absolutely the best pink lemonade on the market by far. A lot of these other drinks are just a little too sweet for me. Like, I don't really like that. And this is like a nice mix because I also don't like when it tastes too much like alcohol. But this is like the perfect balance. There's a reason that it was the drink I got when we went to the Parallel Street Kitchen as well.
It, absolutely, man. It is the sweet spot for Quads in the alcoholic beverage realm. You can find it, like you said, at Parallel 49 Street Kitchen and in a ton of liquor stores. All the BC liquor stores have it. It's the bright pink cans, Muddler's Pink Lemonade. Go out and try it today. And a big thank you to our sponsors. By the way, Bakersfield, California. Bakersfield, California. Through a state out there. And then I remember the Iowa Wild were a team, so... Bakersfield in California. So the Abbey boys going on a little Cali trip, flying out on Thursday, playing on Saturday. There's a day in between there to enjoy some Cali weather.
When is the home opener? Because I'm planning on going to that.
It's a little ways away. I think it's not next weekend, but the weekend after. Or this week. It's the weekend after this weekend.
Is it the Saturday that I'm not here?
Maybe. Maybe. Man. I think that might be it. Yeah, they're going to get started. You know, I'm excited to watch this Abbey team. I'll be able to watch it on HL TV, get some updates for people. Clips will be out there. Cody Sievertson is going to have it all over too. So that'll be good. That'll be good. It's going to be good to follow that team. That's going to be a fun team out there in Abbotsford, man. We said it a lot. Hey, we have our ad here about Muddlers. And we only talk about the pink lemonade because that's the best.
Moscow Mule?
But you got after it.
And the fruit punch.
Freaking set you up here, man. Jeez, you're swinging your driver. I haven't even teed the ball
up. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so you went after all of these things the other weekend. You're getting after it with the Muddlers. You tried all of them because we thought there was only two flavors.
Yeah.
We thought there was just the Moscow Mule, and we didn't even give the Moscow Mule a chance, if we're being 100% honest here. Just the pink lemonade, but you tried all four.
And I didn't try the lemon iced tea, which I think I'll like the most.
Wow. So like iced tea, yeah. I don't think you can really screw up an iced tea, like alcohol drink that much. And no. Muddlers is knocking it out of the park. You know who I seen the other day drinking a Muddlers? JT Miller's wife.
Nice.
She was drinking a Muddlers and posted on Instagram there. So if it's good enough for the Millers.
Friend of the show, Natalie Miller.
Yeah, absolutely. So take me through the Moscow, because I didn't know what a Moscow Mule was.
So the Moscow
I just hated
Mule,
the name and I was like, I don't really think I want to try
this. So the Moscow Mule is like it's like ginger ale, but with alcohol. That's the only way I can describe it.
You know me, man. I love my ginger ale.
I know. It's really good. And I don't even like ginger ale, but it was really good. I really liked it. And my friend who really does like, we had a taste test actually when everybody came to my house on Friday. We were just pouring it all out, trying everything.
And my invite was lost in the mail.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, Moscow Mule. It was one of the popular ones of the night.
See, I didn't expect it because I've always seen Moscow Mules that come in these cups that are all these copper cups they always come out in, I believe.
Yeah.
And that just threw me off right off the top there. I didn't even give it a chance.
Yeah.
But I love ginger ale, so I think I got to try them off. And the fruit punch you said was good too. Like
fruit punch was solid.
Yeah.
It was good. Okay. Oh, man, but those, like my friend was joking around. She was saying like, if this was in like a juice box, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Like it is... Those things are dangerous, man. Okay, well, like, those go down about. Quick.
But did anything beat the pink lemonade? Because we love the pink lemonade.
I don't think... The fruit punch was close.
Really?
It was actually close.
Damn. Okay, well, let's get off this. It sounds like we're doing a 3-minute ad here for freaking Muddlers. I just wanted to talk about it. Because I knew you had the mixer case last
exactly.
week.
Exactly.
Poll question.
Yes, our Fuel the Fan poll question for episode 204. Check out Fuel the Fan Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia on Twitter at Fuel the Fan. Go check them out. Shop serial numbered Vancouver Canucks autographs. They're a proud sponsor of the show. You can shop and ship through WhatsApp. Good guys over there. Definitely go check them out.
Got a shirt for stuff. Harm, too.
Yeah, they got a shirt for Harm. We can't say what it is. We can't say what it is because it's not public yet. But Harmon will have a shirt. Also, people saw it. If you haven't seen it already, go check Harmon Dial's Twitter account because he followed through on the cucumber or the ketchup on cucumber thing. Rightfully so. He said it was less good than he remembered.
Yeah. No comment. That's one I wouldn't even try right there.
When you don't get a comment
and you know what I'm making tonight?
Take? Oh.
So I got some pizza dough.
Okay.
I'm going to make a turkey pizza today with all the leftover turkey and stuffing and no marinara sauce on the pizza.
Wow.
I'm going cranberry sauce as the base.
Oh man. Okay. I gotta see this.
Cranberry sauce. And I had this Gruyere cheese the other day.
Okay.
Still got a little bit left. So I'm going to shred that Gruyere up. Like that's going to pop, man. I'm going to put some stuffing on top, some turkey on top, cranberry sauce. I'm going to stuff the crust with Gouda. That's my move.
Nice.
I'm going to stuff the crust with Gouda for sure. That's my move. Maybe I'll tweet out a picture. See how many people get pissed off about me ruining pizza. But I've got the Italian stamp right here from Quad. So
we'll see. I got to see it first.
Maybe
try it. Let's get to the poll question, our Field of Fan poll question. Where would you like to see JT Miller start the season? Center with Podkolzin, left wing with Pettersson, more goalie talk with a couple eye emojis, and I'm angry, as always.
What percentage does more goalie talk have?
2%. And I'm just going to point out...
Yeah.
Michael,
this is an all-time first, though, for I'm angry. What does I'm angry have? Last time I checked...
1.8.
Wow, last time I checked, 0.7.
Yeah, I'm angry.
People are just pumped. People are, you know, Canucks fans are fired up, man. The season's around the corner. Yeah. That's the low, by a mile, that's the lowest I'm angry we've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any good comments you want to get to there, you said?
Yeah. Someone pointed out, I'd also like to say I'm also a fan of more goalie talk,
okay,
if that could be included. Also, I was actually going to talk about post-integration on today's show.
That was literally one of the options. What is he? Who's the replier there?
Nick, at Canucks Spirit.
Well, Nick, that's one of the damn options. What is he talking about he wants?
He wants to see... Well, it's unrelated. Where would you like to see JT Miller start the season? More goalie talk? That's not really an option.
Well, that's
you just put that there so that you could point out that it didn't get a lot of votes. But
I plead the fifth on that one.
Oh, whatever. Anyways, the results, 12% say center with Podkolzin, 84% say left wing with Pettersson, and obviously the 2% and 2% for more goalie talk and I'm angry. Left wing with Pettersson is absolutely running away with this one with 84%. And honestly, Chris, that does not surprise me. Like, we've been talking about that for a couple weeks now. And look, when you go out and get Lamico, like I think there's people talking about it, but I feel like there's not enough people talking about it. Lamico is kind of a Brandon Sutter light. If Brandon Sutter was healthy on this team, you and I talked about this on last week's episode, we would see Miller at the wing from the get-go in training camp. So again, like, kudos to the Canucks for going out and getting a center that can actually play fourth line minutes.
And like, I was kind of surprised because, like, you know, he played in Florida, obviously didn't get a lot of exposure, but the guys played a lot of NHL games, had decent... you look at the line mates that he's played with the most, raises a lot of their possession numbers as well. So, I mean, you know, good fourth line guy who can raise possession numbers. Really happy with the Yalevi trade in the end.
Absolutely. And when you look at the quality of competition,
you know why I'm happy, though.
Okay, why?
He's going to get to Florida. He's going to rip it up. Those rookie cards I got, the Floridian hockey fans, all 14 of them, they are going to just be buying up the eBay market, and I'm going to be all over that, selling off these freaking 20 Yalevi rookie cards. I don't actually have about 20. I got, I think, about 14.
All right. Fair enough.
My Rathbone rookie card continues to grow by the week. like Rathbone better freaking hit, man. Like, we're going to get, I think we got to get into it a little bit because Brad Hunt was playing with Luke Shen today on a pairing. So not, you know, still Rathbone looks like he's out of the lineup, which is, that's wild in one spot there. But we'll stick with the poll question here. Fuel the Fan. Check him out on Twitter. He has to play with Pettersson now that Pettersson's back.
Yeah.
You know, when Brock Besser comes back, sure, let's go a lot of line. I'm all for it now. I've thought that there was different options to do, but my idea has kind of changed watching Höglander go back with Pearson and Horvat again. Seeing that line come back together, that one game where they had, where, what was it? It was something like Höglander had a period. He had half the game with a perfect Corsi. He was 15-0 at the halfway point of the game, finished the first period with like 12-0 Corsi. They ended up controlling like 90% or something of the Corsi, like Tyler Myers, like Corsi numbers, and normally on the opposite side. But that line together, they just gelled immediately when they came back and started playing well. And I think that I believe, like, Travis Green will tell you, if you had a gun to his head, he'd be like, Bo Horvat's best winger option is Tanner Pearson. That's what Travis Green would tell you. I would tell you it's Nils Höglander. Nils Höglander is the best winger option for Bo Horvat. I think they work so well together. And having him go back and play with Pearson and Horvat, love that. So as much as I've wanted to see Höglander get more of an offensive opportunity because of, you know, what he did last year at 5-on-5 and his ability to create offense, not only from his shot, which I think hopefully has improved since last year, because there were times last year where it looked like a solid shot, not consistently, but he's always been a guy who's going to help drive the offensive play. And if Dickinson is now running that third line, hopefully opens up the door for not only Horvat to have more of an offensive opportunity, but Höglander as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it will. And I think we're going to see that with Höglander. Honestly, like, look, you point to a lot of micro stats when it comes to Nils Höglander. And I think this season is where we start to really see those results. And I'm not trying to take anything away from what he did last year, because, you know, everybody knows he had a good year. But I think we're going to see him hit another level this year. And I wasn't saying that at the start of training camp. I was actually saying, like, quite the opposite. I was saying, like, oh, he doesn't forecheck hard enough, blah, 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 blah. And then he had his next game and just absolutely blew the doors off the place. So it's hard for me to say anything bad about Nils Höglander now, because after literally right after that episode, he just turned it on in preseason training camp, got put with Horvat and Pearson. Looks like a different player when he's with those guys.
That's a good line, man. That's a really good second line.
Absolutely.
It's a solid second line to have, especially if you have depth behind it. And that's, yes, I think, the big difference, right? Like last year, that's, you know, that was a fine second line when they were together. They held up pretty good numbers on a really bad team. Like, honestly, they were a good second line. But now they're an even better second line because of what's behind them in the lineup. With Dickinson now playing, with, you know, the way that they're going to have Pod Colson on a fourth line, there's things that you need to be aware of in the lines beneath them in the depth charts. And then if you have the Lotto line on top of them, I tell you, man, like the Canuck, we've said it a lot in the offseason here, and this is our final offseason episode, I guess, because, well, final preseason episode since we've moved away from the offseason. But for the final time in the preseason, the Canucks are going to have a hell of a top nine. A hell of a top nine around the NHL. If they're able to get back together to clicking, if the Lotto line's able to get even close to what they were in the 1920 season, and Horvat's now going to be like having a little bit weaker matchups, a third line now that can control goal share, and a fourth line Vasily Podkolzin on it, god damn, man. Like, the season starts tomorrow, and I'm excited because I think that they're going to be a team that is finally going back to the playoffs. Like, it's, you know, obviously they had the playoff run in the bubble. Yep. It just doesn't feel like, that didn't feel like the playoffs, no, man. I'm sorry. Like, yes, they had their amazing run, and it was great for them to kind of put the league on notice. Thatcher Demko obviously is coming out party, but, man, this year, with fans back in the arena, everyone's going to be able to see what this team can do. This is what the playoffs, this is the year that you want to get into the playoffs and do it, and do the damn thing. I'm excited. Like, tomorrow the season starts, and this team is a lot better than what we've seen for us covering this team for the last few years.
Absolutely. Before we get to goalie talk, I did want to say something about Lamico.
Okay. I got one more thing, too.
Yeah, sure. So when you look at his matchup data, which I was doing recently, really good write-up actually right now at Canucks Army from Stefan Rougé on Lamico and kind of what he brings. And the main reason...
You like that guy, Stefan, there? You like that guy?
Yeah, he's a pretty good writer. Yeah. He's pretty solid.
Got a picture of him somewhere around your house?
Oil painting.
By the Oily Boys? Did they draw that the for oily you? Freaking hell, man, I tell you.
Oh, man. Anyway. Freaking Oily Boys. Again, Lamico was playing against, or not against, he was playing behind Alexander Barkov, who gets all the minutes in Florida. So, you know, his matchup data looks a little skewed, but he's going to be playing a similar role here. Like, the Canucks aren't going to be asking him to come in and play against top competition. Like, his role is just going to be on the ice and kill penalties. Like, that's what he has to do for this hockey club. Like, they're not expecting him to go score a ton of goals, right? But, you know, maybe playing with Vasily Podkolzin helps that, right? Like, he has some offensive ability. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits into this lineup, especially once Brandon Sutter returns. And also, we should be talking about it. Brandon Sutter, all the best to him. Right now, dealing with the long-haul symptoms of COVID-19. Bo Horvat was talking about it today. You feel for him because, you know, all of these guys went through it again. This is pre-vaccine that Sutter and everybody else got sick. And you feel for the guy. Again, only 32 years old and can't go to work. Pro athlete. Can't make it right now. So hopefully it's a speedy recovery for him.
Absolutely. Get vaccinated and stay safe, folks. Like, honestly, not like that you know, not that that's going to change anything with Brandon Sutter now, but we feel for him. That's brutal. Just to hear what he's going through with, obviously, you know, we've touched on it so much in the past year and a half talking about COVID and everything. It's just brutal what this has done. Just get vaccinated, stay safe,
yeah,
people. Absolutely. That's all I can say about that. I mean, the long haul thing with Brandon Sutter, it's brutal. To hear that a professional athlete can't play because of something that happened last year at the team because of virus, you know, ran through the team.
And he's not the only one, right? Like Alex Stalox, and we can confirm because Jim told us yesterday that Brandon Sutter doesn't have like that heart condition that Stalox has, because we've been seeing that kind of pop up around the league and around the world, really. Jim said that he's gone through all the tests and he doesn't have anything like that, which is good to hear. But yeah, still dealing with the effects.
Not like you could ever get a timeline now in Brandon Sutter either. Like, exactly. You just hope that the guy's going to be able to
feel better
and play and do the thing he loves, do his, you know, be able to go out and do his job. I mean, for all honesty, like you just hope that he's able to get healthy from it. So
absolutely.
So we don't know what comes from, like, we don't know if long haul, like, I don't know if long haul COVID goes away.
Yeah. We don't know.
We just don't know. We're also not doctors. We made that very
clear.
I think
that's pretty clear on this show.
Yeah. I'm a pizza doctor though. Me and my turkey. Okay. I'll tell you that.
You said you had one more thing to say before I got all the best to Brandon Sutter, but yes.
Absolutely. We wish him the best and hope, you know, people are going to love Brandon Sutter when he comes back, man. $1 million deal. Whatever he does, he steps on the ice, people are going to love him.
He's going to get a loud cheer when he steps on the ice for the first time, especially now that people know about this.
People know about this, but people don't forget about the goddamn hat trick.
Yep.
And he put on the ice last year. We were in the stands for that.
He's a beaut.
Yeah,
he's you know what, he's a genuinely like good guy too. He is. And Bo was talking today about what he brings to the locker room and just how he keeps everything light. Like in any workplace, you just love a guy like that.
You want to see Canucks air. You want Brandon Sutter up there for Canucks air too.
Yes. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. That's all the best, man. I hope he's back soon. I hate talking about this stuff. But you kind of have to, right? I mean, sucks. You hope for the best. Anyways, the last thing I wanted to bring up was something that I mentioned a little bit earlier to you. Jack Rathbone skating on a fourth pairing with Kyle Burrows, Slay the Dragon Kyle Burrows. But does that mean that Brad Hunt looks like he's going to be getting opening night over Jack Rathbone? I think that's what it tells me. The practice the day before.
Yeah. I think it does.
What are your thoughts? Because I know you, obviously, you're a huge Rathbone supporter, you know, friend of the show, of course, Rathbone. We want him on this team. And you've touched on it a few times in the last few episodes, but the difference that I thought was, like, you're not asking as much with Shen if you have Hunt with him, but with Rathbone, it's like you're not creating as much offense with Brad Hunt in the lineup instead. So how do you kind of balance that on a third pairing? Because I think Harm brought up a good point last week where third pairings, if a guy's not doing anything, nothing, just going out there and not getting scored on, not scoring goals, that's good for a third pairing.
Yep.
Is that something that you have to kind of accept with Brad Hunt over Jack Rathbone? Because maybe Jack Rathbone's more of a top four type of guy where you're trying to win the goal share instead of just keeping it at 50-50.
I do think that. And I think part of the reason that we are going to see Brad Hunt tomorrow is because of the opponent, right? Like, you'll remember a few years back, Brock Besser's rookie year, sits out the first two games despite having a great camp, making the team out of camp. Sits out the first two games, and it was just purely based on Travis's philosophies and stuff. And I wonder if, because they're playing Edmonton, it's a similar thing here. Because let's not forget, on this road trip, Canucks are going to play Detroit and Buffalo. If I'm a betting man, which I am now, we'll get to that later. Jack Rathbone's getting into some games on this road trip. Like, he is going to play. And even today at practice, he was still playing on power play two. He was swapping in and out with Brad Hunt.
Well, is that something that maybe should really be in Rathbone's favor? Is power play two better with Rathbone instead of a fourth forward?
Absolutely. Him and OEL look great on that power play together.
So that should be something that leans him starting quite a bit over top of Brad Hunt to me.
Yeah.
And it's not like Rathbone has really been bad defensively either. Like, he's a rookie who's going to continue to improve. There's obviously things that he hasn't mastered yet in the NHL. Defending is likely one of them. It's not like Brad Hunt's mastered defending either. He's just a veteran who's been around the league a little bit longer and has more NHL games.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think...
And your point from last show was that, yes, there are going to be more mistakes from Rathbone, but there's also going to be a hell of a lot more times where Rathbone carries a puck from the defensive zone into the offensive zone or makes a good pass. You brought that up last week compared to Brad Hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way I kind of chalk it up is, if you remember, if you recall, before Quinn Hughes arrived on the scene, people were saying, like, because of his play style, it's going to be a learning curve. Like, everybody should be ready for him to be making mistakes. And then he really didn't. Like, he was, you know, I don't have to tell you, he blew the doors off the place as soon as he came in his rookie year.
I tell you, as soon as Quinn Hughes made that little pass behind the net to himself where he banked off the net, it was over.
Yeah, it was
over.
Trevor Lewis is still
He's the best defenseman of all time from the Canucks roster after that little move right there.
Man.
What, his fifth shift or something?
Yeah, something like that when he was paired with Luke Shen. But anyways, I think it's going to be a similar thing with Rathbone, and I don't think he has the upside that Hughes does to the point where those concerns are going to just be blown off as soon as he steps onto the ice. Like, I think it is going to be, you're going to have to be patient with Rathbone, and you're going to have to be more, you know, I don't want to use the word patient again, but I guess just patient with him making mistakes.
It's a little bit of a slow play, right? I mean,
yeah.
The thing about Rathbone, though, that's like, people are like, oh, he's such a similar player to Quinn Hughes. Similar, like, what he brings to a game, but the way he does it is so different. Like,
yes,
he doesn't skate like Hughes. He moves the puck in a strong way like Hughes, but the thing that I think is going to really be Jack Rathbone's bread and butter as an NHL player, the thing that just makes him stick out and pop as an NHL defenseman, it's going to be that shot. Like, when his shot develops a little bit more, when he gets a little bit bigger and stronger, his shot is going to be the thing that's going to be his number one asset in the NHL, I think, moving forward. And that's why I like him on the second power play unit from day one. That, I don't know if that's the reason, if that's well enough of a reason for Travis Green to keep him in the lineup over Brad Hunt. I don't think that reason on its own is, but it's not like Brad Hunt's going to be killing penalties. It's not like Brad Hunt's going to be on the second power play unit. He's just going to play 5-on-5. I mean, there's a lot to special. There are special team gains having Jack Rathbone on there instead of him.
Absolutely.
And Hunt, okay. I think Hunt's going to calm things down on a third pairing, and maybe that's just what Green wants. That's why I think he's going with Brad Hunt at the end.
Yeah, and we're just assuming, right, based on practice. I think it's safe to assume that Brad Hunt's probably going to be in the lineup. But you ready for some goalie talk?
Sure. Hit the damn button.
Oh, yeah, he shouldn't have done that public knowledge. That's a big no-no. I don't know. You know, I can't really give the time and date, or else I feel like Nona's shoe will be flying across North America right and hit me in the head.
I think we spent half an hour talking about a backup goaltender.
All right, get out of here, Woodley. All right.
Faber's going to be very pissed. So, you know, I don't like to say bad things about goaltenders. All right, it's time for goalie talk. We are going to be talking about post-integration today because someone actually asked me to explain it further. This is a listener request, Chris. Don't even come at me, because somebody tweeted at us, both of us, and said, Quads, could you please explain post-integration further? I actually feel like I'm learning something when I listen to the podcast. Okay? So just buckle up. I'm going to explain post-integration further.
Someone said this on Reddit, too.
What'd they say?
I said they do learn some goalie things from you.
Excellent.
I can read some of the other Reddit
comments. Reddit hates me, so yeah, that's nice to hear.
I can read some other ones if you want.
I think that's probably due to the fact that I've said multiple times I hate Reddit, so.
Can't believe you, man.
Whatever.
People at Reddit, they support us. They support this show. They were excited about the Sportsnet thing.
Yeah, no, I like some of you. I just have seen way too many and stupid things.
Half the comments are about how much they hate you.
Yeah, whatever. I hate them too. The people that hate me, I hate you too, Jeez. Just so you know. And you can take that to the bank. Okay, post-integration.
Reddit better be all over this. Me and the Reddit folk, we're tight. I like the Reddit folk. I'm on there. I'm trying to comment more in there and be more engaged with the Reddit folk. Yeah, I like them. They're a funny group of people, man. It's fun over there. Not as bad. There's not as much as the grossness as there is on Canucks Twitter. Mm, the idiots with their loud voices on Twitter.
Interesting, because I had an opposite experience.
Reddit's just funny. Like, Reddit, I think Reddit knows Reddit's like a meme version of Twitter. I like that.
Anyway. Post-integration. So basically, there are three main ways that you're going to see a goalie put his skate on the post. And again, this is going to be different with every single goaltender. Some of them actually aren't physically able to integrate to a post the way Mikey DiPietro can, the way Jacob Markstrom and Thatcher Demko can. And again, with the latter two there, Jacob Markstrom and Thatcher Demko, again, super tall guys, super... Chris is filming himself. Watch. Man, you can't be doing that. I can't focus. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So basically what you're going to see when you watch Thatcher Demko and Jacob Markstrom integrate to the post is their skate is on the inside of the post. Man, you can't be doing this. I can't pay attention. I can't focus.
Well, neither can I when you start talking.
You got to stop doing that.
Wow.
Okay, sorry. So the way that they integrate to the post is their skate is inside the post, but their boot, like not their boot, but the base of their pad, I guess we'll call it the boot for our purposes here.
Okay.
The base of that pad is right up against the post, but their skate is actually on the inside of the net. Other goaltenders like to have their skate blade on the post, and then they do that. That leaves them a little more susceptible to that short side, but again, you're able to actually be up taller because you're not leaned over as much if you're doing that, if that makes sense. Opposite. You are leaned over a lot when you're doing that. So the way Jaro Halak does it, and this is something that I've pointed out to you, he actually puts the boot, so I'm talking about the base of the pad here, he actually puts it inside the post. And, you know, this is not how Ian Clark preaches and teaches post integration, but one little interesting tidbit I've seen is that, first of all, Ian Clark really likes Jaro Halak, and I think there's a mutual understanding here that Jaro is an older goaltender who has found success all throughout his career, and I don't think they want to reinvent his game too much at this point. I don't think that's something that's being pressured onto him. I don't think they're trying to change the way he integrates to the post.
So what you're saying is post integration is useless.
No, it is everything. It is very important.
And why don't they change Halak?
Because he has a way that works for him. And
if it's so important,
the boot idea doesn't work for everybody. Okay. But also, Jaro probably can't physically do the way that Demko and Markstrom integrate to the post. And Mikey DiPietro, again, different style as well, right? Like, there's basically three main ones, and depending how far off the post you are, you have to be leaned up against the post as well, because you have to seal off that top side as much as you can, right? And for Jaro, who's like 5'10", 5'9".
Like the Draisaitl shot the other day.
Exactly. And this is why I'm bringing it up, is because Jaro's post integration is very different than Demko's, and it's very different than Mikey DiPietro's. And that's why we're talking about post integration, if that wasn't clear.
All right. Somebody the other day tweeted, and they're like, Faber's a closet goalie fan.
I think so.
No, I hated that segment so much.
Well, you distracted me. I feel like I flubbed it a little bit because you started distracting me while you were...
All I wanted was a video of you just being like, post-integration, foot on the post, you got pads and
Yeah, but then you're
boots.
Making these faces. I can't pay attention.
I was going to bang the mic on my head a little bit there. I was getting annoying.
Anyway, that was goalie talk.
Did you have fun?
I had fun. I feel like I flubbed it a little bit. Maybe I'll have to come back next week with a more detailed explanation of post integration.
Sure, we'll do that every week.
Before we continue, you know, the post integration is really important because, you know, that's how you seal off the net, right? Like in the NHL, shooters are good enough to just absolutely pick corners on you, especially when you look at who the Canucks are playing tomorrow night. You're gonna need your goaltenders to all be solid on that. And thankfully, the Canucks do have two goaltenders who are pretty good at it. But I think Thatcher Demko is, you know, obviously better. And I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. Again, a guy that's just been coached by Ian Clark basically his whole professional career. They've made good progress on that sort of thing.
All right, I'm tuning back in now. My one goalie question. Maybe this should be part of the segment. I just ask one goalie question.
Okay.
How many games does Thatcher Demko play this year?
Who cares, man?
What the hell? Like, everyone cares.
He plays like over 50. I think 82 game season.
I think he gets to 60.
I think he might get to 60. It's hard to say. How does Jaro perform? Right, like that's going to depend on it a lot. Because look, this schedule, folks. I think people have seen it at this point, but we talked a lot about last year. This schedule's not much better in terms of how often they're playing. Like, Jaro is going to
Olympics,
need to play.
You got jammed in there.
You got Olympics, exactly. Jaro's going to need to play.
Late start to the season,
all that stuff. The games are jam-packed here, folks, and they're going to need two goaltenders who can play. And, you know, they're going to need Jaro to be solid.
All right, I'm done here. Prospects report. Jonathan Meierenberg. I'll tell you what, listen.
Now I'm banging the mic on my head.
Oh, yeah, right. You care. People care about this.
Do people care about A C-level prospect
who's playing SHL minutes as an 18-year-old? Yeah, I think people care.
Who are playing for the NHL team.
Yeah, well, people care about that. I just asked you how many games, and you said, who cares? So literally, you answered your own question a minute ago. Jonathan Meyrenberg, playing in the SHL. Now, he's been in 6 of the 8 SHL games for Linköping, which is good to see. One of only 7 18-year-old defensemen in the league. So that's good for him in the SHL. Starting to play, like, we talked about him a lot at the draft. He was a player that I identified going into the draft. And the thing that was worrisome was his defense. And now he's looking a lot more solid playing defensively now. I mean, it looked like he just didn't care about defense before. And he's still out of place at certain times. He's still pinching way too hard sometimes and, you know, looking like Tyler Myers on the forecheck every once in a while. But he's at least skating back hard and being responsible defensively. The best thing I liked about his defense was how physical he's able to play right now. He's 6'2", 190 pounds. He's a big body for an 18-year-old kid. Right shot. So excited for him. Aiden McDonough scored a goal on Friday in their little weekend tournament that they had up at, what was it, Holy Cross or something like that. Some school they were playing at. They're in the tournament there. He scored a goal. Looked all right. Now he's got 3 goals in 3 games in the NCAA. And then finally, who's the last name? I wrote it down here. Lockhart, that's right. So I watched Lockhart play on his season opener in the OHL. Man, I didn't know Lockhart is such a bomb for a shot. Like, not just, you know, his wrist shot was fine, but he didn't really take a lot. The shots that I really saw consistently were on the power play. He was looking like, you know, not Alexander Ovechkin, but he was in the OV zone, ripping that slap shot, rang one off the post, and got a good little pop on it. I think we're going to see some highlights coming up here pretty soon of Connor Lockhart ripping from the left side on the power play. So exciting for him. Also kills penalties, took faceoffs on the penalty kill as well, which was, I think, something that's kind of important. So to see him out there killing penalties, that was another big plus that I saw from Lockhart. I liked a lot of what he did in his OHL game, and he played a ton of minutes. There's no, I couldn't find the stats for how many minutes he played, but he had to be up, if not the top guy, top forward anyways, on the Erie Otters. I'd love to get an Erie Otters shirt. I think I'm going to do that soon here.
That's a good idea.
Erie Otters. What? Just great logo, great team name. Even the city sounds funny. Erie Otters is like the perfect shirt to get.
Did you know Erie is in Pennsylvania?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you. I didn't know
No,
that.
No, I know you're not disagreeing. I was just like, yeah, it came as a surprise to me too. That's why I said that.
Really? I thought Erie was...
Ontario? No.
Well, that makes sense why they played Flint then.
Yes.
It's Flint, Michigan, Mega Bowl. They played them on for their first game.
Yep.
Flint has, so they have their power play has Tag Bertuzzi, who's Todd Bertuzzi's son.
Yep.
And the defenseman who runs into the point is named something Bertucci.
Oh, man.
There was a play, and the guy, like the play-by-play guy mentioned it. He's like, Bertucci to Bertuzzi. He's like, it just floats off your tongue. Wow, it's like, that's amazing. Bertucci to Bertuzzi. Anyways, so Lockhart, excited to see what he can do.
Nice.
Showed well in the first watch that I've had of him. So excited to see how he kind of continues that up. Going to be a huge piece for the Erie Otters down there in Pennsylvania, as I just learned. Yeah. Is that where they were?
Yes.
Okay.
I have something else to say. Post-integration.
I swear to...
I'm sorry, it's so important.
Hit the intro.
No, I'm not hitting the intro again, but it's so important I needed to cover on it because I wanted to bring it up and then I forgot to, but basically NHL goaltenders, what you watch is it's called a reverse VH, and that means reverse vertical.
No,
listen. So back in the day, when goalies would integrate to the post, you'd see them with their... Like, if I'm a goaltender and I'm on the right post, my right pad would be up, and then my left pad would be along the ice. You don't see that much in the NHL anymore. You see reverse VH, and all of Ian Clark's goaltenders do this. Most goaltenders in the league do this. I can't even think of anybody who does it the other way around, but it's called a reverse VH. So you actually now have your pad on your right. If I'm integrating to the right post, right, I have my pad up against the post along the ice. Okay, so that needs to be flush to the ice, and then my left leg, again, if I'm integrating to the right, my left leg is what's up, which means that I need to have the hip flexibility to lean to my right to get my upper body up against the post, right? So this is why, you know, that's so important for goaltenders, and it's the reverse VH. I don't know how I failed to mention that when we were talking, but a big reason for this is now goaltenders can pop off that post really easily. And, you know, for a guy like Yarrow, and this is what makes Yarrow so impressive, because he has that boot inside the post. We've already determined that. So if you're Mikey DiPietro or you're Jacob Markstrom or Thatcher Demko, you're able to kind of use your skate blade to push off the post a little more, right? But if you're Yaro, you're coming in from inside the net, basically. So it's a little bit harder for him. You know, it's harder for most goaltenders too, which makes what he does so impressive, because you watch him and he is pretty quick and able to move off that post quickly. But that's why the reverse VH is the method that is used by NHL goaltenders for post integration now, is so that they can, you know, pop up and get to the top of the crease in a hurry or get across for a sliding save. And again, this is the drill that I was explaining on the last episode that Ian does with a lot of the goaltenders. Again, flips a puck over the net, over their head, they have to integrate to the post, and then they have to pop off and come out to the top of the crease and make a save.
All right. next week on the goalie segment, you know what we should do?
What?
You should teach people how to watch paint dry.
Come on, that was interesting. That was good.
That would be good.
That was a good explanation of post integration.
I should have taken a video of you freaking flopping around in your chair there as you were doing all the moves. Your legs got to get flush to the ground. You're moving this way. You're moving this way. I don't know how you weren't out of breath doing that.
Oh, man. Woodley's getting me on the ice soon. He's said he's got a full set of gear for me and he wants to get me out there.
I'll come out there. I'll rip some on you.
Yeah.
Take out some frustration. Yeah.
Take out some frustration.
Now play this last whatever 15 minutes, whatever that was, it felt like. Play that in my headphones and
just I think the second explanation of the reverse VH was very important.
All right. You see me at Castle Fun Park, 93 miles an hour or whatever it was. I'll show you something. Try and keep your post integration when I'm ripping top shed on you. Good luck.
Oh, man. Yeah, as a shorter goaltender, too, that's not going to be easy for me. But anyway.
Put them right in the middle of your chest. That's where I'm going to be aiming the whole time.
No problem. I'll stop those, like,
I don't care if you're stopping them. I know what I'm doing with those.
Ring it off the cage. That's what sucks.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't do
when
that.
I bought,
you need this brain.
Back in the day when I was the leading scorer of the UVic Intramural Hockey League, let me tell you, I got this new stick this one time. And I went out and bought this stick, and it was a little bit of a longer stick, and it was like, it had a really weird curve. It was like a really strong curve. And I remember warming up, and the first shot I took in that warm-up, I just like get the puck, go out, do a little stick handling with the new stick, see how it's all like. Got rid of my other stick. My old stick had a laser pointer on it, and it's a whole thing. And I had to let the goalies know where I was going to shoot, otherwise it was just too easy for me. So when I bought this new stick, the first shot I took, I kid you not, hit the ceiling of the gym. I just like, I go to take a wrist shot, and it's, I don't know, maybe I've never switched into a new stick like that.
The flex.
And just shooting it, it goes into the ceiling, and I was like, what the hell? My first like 7 or 8 shots are missing by like 20 feet over the net. And I'm like, what's going on here? But once I got that stick dialed in, I don't know if I could ever find another one. It was a pink stick. It was a big, long, pink Easton stick or something, man. It would have been back in 2012, I guess, when I had it. And man, that thing, once I got that thing dialed in, I was able to do the little cross move from behind the net with a ball after that. Ripped the league up, leading scorer, myself, Nathan Tellier, Nikita. We were a hell of a line. That nice trio right there. Me and Nikita, she was, man, she's the best like female hockey player I've ever seen. She's so good at road hockey, too.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. We had a hell of a line together back in the UVic leagues.
Were you the playmaker or the finisher?
Oh, come on. I was the finisher.
Nice.
I had multiple games, 7, 8 goals, just ripping it up.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah, it was good.
Absolutely. I have one more thing to say about post integration.
I swear
I'm
to
joking.
God.
I'm just joking. But honestly, that second explanation was so much more important and better. The first one, I was like rambling and like sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about. I had to come back strong with the second part.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, man.
People learned something. You learned something.
Not really there.
You absolutely learned something. Because now you'll know when a goalie's not...
I'll be 100%. I barely listened to it. Whatever. I barely listened to what you were saying.
We're wrapping it up.
I was completely checked out.
Whatever. This has been a fun episode, except for you.
Hold on, man.
Hating my goalie
this is your fault. Normally, you're like...
This is the most informative?
No, I'm not even talking about that. This is your fault. You wanted to bring something up with our friends at PointsBet.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about PointsBet.
Normally, you're always like, oh, you're always cutting me off at the end. You want to get one more thing and blah, blah, blah. You get all mad at me after the podcast. But you forgot...
I know.
We're going to get our teams going right after this.
I don't see it written on there, but yes.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not written on there because you haven't written anything on an outline in all of our last 7 episodes where we started doing outlines. You haven't written one thing on there. I write the whole damn outline.
All right. Enough. PointsBet. We got to talk about PointsBet. PointsBet Canada, they have just signed a deal with our parent company, the Nation Network.
Sure, sure, sure. What's up with these prizes? What the hell's going on? Did I see a $5,000 Visa or something?
Yeah, you did. And I'm very excited.
I can win it though, right?
We can absolutely win it.
You mentioned we're going to your place after this. We're going to make teams.
We're
going to
make our teams. We'll give you guys more information and definitely a lot more still win to it. Say. You can absolutely still win it.
Come get some, then. Hey, I dare anyone to come get me. You know what I did last week? First 200-point score in fantasy football last week in the 650 league, playing against Jamie Dodd. Congrats to him on his new show. He's going to be with Drancer, by the way, on Sportsnet. Congrats. Here's a little congratulations gift. I freaking doubled my score on him this week. Put up like 208 on his 104.
Wow.
Dominated him in fantasy football. I kicked C-Mac's ass last week, running through everyone in this freaking 650 league.
That's exciting. Okay, so grand prize for the 2021-2022 season of Nation Drafts, presented, sponsored by PointsBet, is a grand prize $5,000 Visa gift card, second place $1,000 Visa gift card, third place $500 Visa gift card, fourth place $100 Visa gift card, 5 to 20, 20th place, $25 Visa gift card. Again,
I'll take
folks,
that even too,
it's
damn.
Free to sign up. It's at the bottom of like any article in any Canucks Army article for the next week. You'll be able to find the link. We are going to be tweeting about it on Saturday's episode. We will have our teams drafted. We're going literally right after this episode's posted to go draft our teams. But basically, after signing up for a free account, we're going to give you a bunch of boxes with player names, and you're going to pick a name from each box until you've put together a super crew that you think can contend for a Nation Drafts championship. Seems easy, right? It is, and that's not just because you're wicked smart. Sign up for free at
wicked
the bottom.
Smart.
Wicked smart. Sign up for free at the bottom of any Canucks Army article for the next week.
Well, I'm going to make, yeah, like you said, we're going to make our teams right now.
I'm pretty excited.
You know me, though, Quad. You know I'm the luckiest person out there. So I'm going to put together a hell of a team. I'm going to take that $5,000. I'm going to invest it into SHIB. Okay. So that's, I'll tell you my Shiba coins, my little crypto that I got. I got one crypto. Shiba something. I don't even know what it's called. I tell people I have one investment in crypto. They expect me to like tell them all about it. I don't know anything about it, but we're up like 300% in the last 2 weeks.
Time to sell.
No, it's not.
Okay.
To the moon. That's what they say. I got to hold.
All right.
Or hodl. Hold on to your life. That's what I learned the all other right. day, man. I put that in an article the other day, actually.
You did. I noticed it.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to invest it all.
Absolutely.
Into crypto. That's the smart move here, I think. And you can't tell me otherwise.
Yes. And for those of you who can't find the link in a Canucks Army article or whatever, feel free to DM either of us or the podcast account on Twitter asking for the link. We will hook you up. Definitely go check it out, though. Sponsored by PointsBet. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see how our teams turn out.
I wonder how different they look because, we don't even know. When you draft different boxes, but it's probably the same four players or something.
Yeah, we assume so. We don't know yet.
I wonder
so
how we'll different see. You and I are going to be looking at players.
Mine will all be goalies based on post situation.
I swear to God. People have heard that word enough. And then
I'll
when
take Vasilevsky in the first
round. You bring
up
the freaking Audi reverse V8 or whatever you're talking about.
The Audi reverse
V8. No one wants to hear you get into that either. So,
oh, man.
I can't, you know. Little whatever. Spoiler alert, Sportsnet show on Saturday. Kevin Woodley's going to be joining us for a goalie segment.
Inaugural Sportsnet goalie segment.
You know what's been good, though, is normally I'm always producing, so I can't leave the studio. We'll see what happens on Saturday. But if I'm hosting on Saturday, I can walk out and go to McDonald's. I can probably get a burger and come back in time. I can do these certain things now with you. And if Woodley's on air, I'm ready to leave at any second anyways.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Little hurtful.
Later in the week, we'll announce our other big guest for the show.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Really, really happy to be doing this show with you, man. Gonna be a lot of fun,
man. I'm just so the text box, man. Everyone, you know, I get a lot of people. Even now, a lot of my friends that aren't on Twitter and everything are messaging me because I think I post on Instagram, and I'm like, yeah, like get in the 650 inbox, man. Like I want everyone in the 650 inbox. We need a show that we're getting interaction. All right, otherwise they're just gonna, you know. It's going to cancel us. We'll see. You know, you don't know. Like we need the interaction. We need people in the 650 inbox. I don't think we're going to be taking calls first week, but we're going to try and work on that down the road. Especially on the days where there's not a Canucks game. I think those would be the days where let's just hammer the phone lines, man. But first week, 650-650 is the number to text. Get at us on there. I want to have a fun text inbox. You and I don't think you know this, but you can reply to text in the text inbox yourself too.
I'll be doing that.
And we'll just be going nuts reading them on air. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We got to think of like a segment to get the texters involved though.
Yeah, we do. We'll think about it. We got some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. This is has been a fun podcast. Final. Again, for those that don't know, podcast schedule is not changing.
Yes. Still Saturdays, still Tuesdays. Saturday will be there at 3 a.m. Might just be a 1 minute ad. We'll see how that, we'll get quads in order here. Straighten it out. But still going to be Tuesdays or Wednesdays, kind of depending on games here. But man, final podcast before the regular season.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
How about that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, man. Episode 204. For Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.